From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Ganavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
One to get odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate. Ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today. And it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside is Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. A bit of a chilly morning. We hope you can stay warm over the next 2 hours, or at least maybe we can warm you up a little bit with our guest lineup that we're going to bring your way. It's going to be a very busy program. We'll tell you more about that in just a couple of minutes. But want to welcome everybody tuned in on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201 on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming us worldwide on our website. You're doing that at horseracingradio.net. Good morning, JT.
Good morning.
Chilly out in the Bluegrass today.
Yes, it's been chilly. I want to go back to Florida.
Yeah, night and day compared to where you were set up with this program a week ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Blue skies and warm, soft ocean breezes.
Palm trees. Swaying in the breeze.
Yes.
The fountain spewing at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I caught part of the program last week. And by the way, well done. You and Mark Otto teamed up on this program. Chuck Simon, our thanks to him, sitting in with you as your analyst on the race broadcast of the Claiming Crown last week. So thanks to everybody that helped out. But I caught part of the morning show, and I could hear the leaf blowers in the background. And I said, oh, yeah, he's at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, well, I said to Billy Badgett, I said, do they know that the general manager of Gulfstream Park is on the radio right now? And he goes, I'm going to go down and take care of that right away. So, yeah, they, and actually he did. He got the guy to quit blowing the paddock out until after we were off the air, which was nice. But
the power of HRN.
Yeah, the power of the general manager. The guy was probably shaking in his boots when he found out. But that's one of the things that you have at Gulfstream. And when we were testing the equipment a couple days before, we could actually hear the fountain because there was nobody at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah.
It was, supposedly a dark day. And I don't want to say nobody was there because there were plenty of people playing simulcasting and stuff, but it wasn't like your usual Saturday crowd with a lot of people milling around, so there was nothing to absorb that sound of the fountain. So it was a little bit different than what we're used to on a regular basis down there. Plus the post times were on time on race day, which was really shocking.
So that
screwed up our itinerary. So
you don't plan for that at Gulfstream
no
Park.
It's always like 10 minutes after post, you know, but they were like running them right on schedule, so
perfect.
Chuck and I had to have our running shoes on there to try to figure it all out.
Speaking of Gulfstream Park, we do have a Triple Crown winner in action later today in the Classico Del Caribe, the Caribbean Classic, however you want to. I prefer Classico Del Caribe, don't you?
Yeah,
I've seen it in print as Caribbean Classic.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. I don't like that.
No, I mean, it's the Classico Del Caribe.
Right.
That's the proper name for the race.
Yes, hashtag HRN Caribe.
HRN Caribe, I like that. When are we opening that division, by the way?
Well, we do that when we're in Barbados. That's the hashtag.
I think we should cover all the races from the Caribbean.
I'm all in. Just,
You want to head up that division?
Just tell me when.
Yeah, that would be spectacular. But yeah, we see the Mexican Triple Crown winner going to the post in there. It's going to be a really different type of day. We saw this last year when the Classico del Caribe was held outside of the Caribbean for the first time at Gulfstream Park. This will be the second consecutive year. I think it's a great concept. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was well received last year, mm-hmm. huge crowd. Pete Aiello, hats off to him because he called those races with the bulk of them being Spanish named horses, and he did such a great job. I was really impressed with Pete that day. It was outstanding.
Yeah, so that'll come your way later this afternoon. Of course, you've got the big racing out on the West Coast at Los Al with the couple of grade ones, the grade one Los Alamitos Futurity, the grade one Starlet. Both of those short fields, just six horse fields, but some quality runners in there. In terms of the Los Al Futurity, you're going to have Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert represented by two of the six. And before we talk about those horses, let's just tell you that Bob Baffert has won that race, the Los Alamitos Futurity, a record, how about this, 10 times. He is looking for a fifth consecutive victory in that race, which, Jude, it seems a little bit improbable, doesn't it?
that he'll win again? No.
I just had to tie that into his main contender in the race.
Yeah, well, he's got actually two very nice horses. He's got Improbable, who's a horse that's on a lot of people's lists and lips right now. He was impressive at Churchill, winning the Street Sense. That was a race that was run Breeders' Cup weekend, and he won by 7 1/4 lengths, beat a nice field, and a very talented horse. He's come back and trained. How about these works since the Breeders' Cup? 112-1, 127 flat, and 59-4.
Yeah.
So he's got a chance.
He might run well.
And then he's got Mucho Gusto, who's by Mucho Macho Man, who is also 2-for-2 lifetime. He's never gone over 7/8. So he has that to overcome. But, I mean, his pedigree indicates, he's out of a Giants Causeway mirror, indicates that should not be a problem for him. And Bob Baffert is 27% when he runs a horse around a ground for the first time. So two really live horses in the Cash Call Futurity.
Yeah, never too early to start thinking about that first Saturday in May. Another thought to kind of warm you up on this chilly Saturday morning. 147 days, 7 hours, 42 minutes, and 33 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. May 4th, 2019. Of course, we'll be there as your exclusive radio home of the Kentucky Derby. We'll be there all week long with that coverage and all that coverage on Derby Day, presented in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. I talked about the guest lineup that we have here. We're going to cover an awful lot of ground over the next 2 hours. We're going to be joined by Mike Connolly, who is the co-owner of Madison County Thoroughbreds. He's going to be with us in just about 6 or 7 minutes here, right around 8:15 Eastern. And Mike is going to talk to us about the Iowa Thoroughbred Owner and Breeder Association auction, the stallion auction, which is taking place beginning today. You can go to the website. We'll give you more information on that in a couple of minutes, and you can place your bid on some of the live auction items. It's going to be really, really cool. So we'll tell you more about that in the first segment of the program. Jockey Frankie Pennington is going to be with us at 8:35 Eastern. He is fresh off that victory in the Remsen at Aqueduct aboard Maximus Mischief. Good-looking winner that day. We haven't had Frankie on the program before, so I'm really excited for this interview coming up.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. He's had an excellent year. He's been winning stakes at some of the bigger tracks he's shipped in. I believe he won the stakes at Saratoga this year.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. Looking forward to that.
Then with the countdown to Christmas on and people out there doing the Christmas shopping, getting things organized, we're going to tell you about the perfect gift for the racing fan on your list. And we'll do that with Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race. He'll be joining us 9 o'clock Eastern time. After him, it's John Velasquez, the Hall of Fame jockey who just recorded milestone win number 6,000. He's going to be with us at 9:20. And then at right around 9:40, we'll kick off a brand new segment, which will come your way over the course of the next several weeks here on the show, all the way through March 9th. We'll bring you the Stallion Spotlight each week, which is presented by Red Brand Fence. And this week, we're going to focus on the Stallions at Darley, and we'll do that with Darren Fox, who is the sales manager at Darley America. So a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to get to over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show, and hopefully we learn a few things along the way.
Yeah, and instead of a poll question at HRN on Twitter, we thought we'd do a little trivia question for you today. John Velasquez, who again will join us 9:20 Eastern time, John became just the 18th rider in thoroughbred racing history to record 6,000 victories in his career. He is one of four active jockeys, currently active jockeys, with 6,000 wins. Who are the other three? Not a poll question. It's a trivia question. Weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Johnny, one of four actively riding jockeys, active riders in the sport today with 6,000 victories, 6,000 or more. So who are the other three beside John Velasquez? Let's see how many people get it right, and we'll pass along that result coming up later in the show. We'll get to our first break. When we come back, it is Mike Connolly. He'll talk about the Iowa Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association auction. He'll do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3, and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They head for home in the San Diego, and it is Fed Biz going on for home. Fed Biz now goes clear to lead by three. Frack Daddy getting out late, Footbridge, you know, I know, all chasing Gamely, but Fed Biz has no intention of slowing down today. And Fed Biz never gave them a chance coming home stylishly in the San Diego. Fed Biz wins it 4 or 5 in the end. Footbridge was second, you know, I know, third, and then Frack Daddy.
Fed Biz with a big victory in the 2014 San Diego Handicap. That was a win that would lower Zenyatta's track record. Yeah, pretty good performance from Fed Biz. And he is one of the stallions involved in the stallion auction, which is ongoing starting today all the way through December 17th at the Iowa Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association website. And if you want to check out more information on the stallion auction and all the stallions that are going to be offered, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is head over to their website. That is iowathoroughbred.com, and you can look up all the information on that auction. And a really a cool event. And again, December 8th through the 17th, so you have a little bit of time, but we would recommend that you get on there now and check it out, and then you can go ahead and make your bids. But FedBiz, one of the stallions involved, and so many top stallions in that particular auction.
Yeah, that's a cool thing for the Iowa breeders, and I don't know what the rules are, but I'm sure our guest can fill us in on out-of-state stallions and what the requirements are for breeding horses in Iowa.
Yeah, several Iowa stallions involved, several Kentucky stallions. You have stallions from all over the country, really. I mean, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida. So there's a number of stallions that you can choose from in this auction, and looking forward to catching up with Mike Connolly, who is the co-owner of Madison County Thoroughbreds. He is with us now on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike, good morning. Appreciate the visit.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Things are well, and looking forward to the auction, which begins this morning, going all the way through the 17th. Looking forward to hearing more about that as well. What an event this is, huh?
Yes, sir. Here in Iowa, we are very fortunate to have a very good board of directors at the ITBOA, and they work very diligently to put together this stallion auction, and currently have 127 stallions that are donated from 20 states, and we're anticipating many more before the auction actually begins.
Yeah, we just heard a clip right before you joined us coming out of the commercial break of FedBiz winning the 2014 San Diego Handicap, and a performance that lowered Zenyatta's track record. He is one of the horses that are involved in the auction, and just one of so many top stallions that people can bid on when they go.
We have many of the top stallions. Kentucky has always been a huge supporter of this endeavor, and the top stallions that are from Kentucky and from Iowa here are all in this sale. All you have to do is go to thoroughlybred.com/ITBOA to bid. If you need more information on what stallions are available for this sale, you can contact the ITBOA office, or you can go online at iowathoroughbred.com.
So what are the rules? I mean, is this strictly for breeding in Iowa, or can somebody bid on a horse from another state and take it home to their state? How does that work?
They can actually bid on a stallion in this auction if they purchase that season and the live foal is conceived. It can be foaled in any state. As long as that stallion sold through our auction, it's eligible for these stallion stake races that we have put together, our board puts together, which this past season, those three stallion stake races paid out $280,000. Now, we are the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 bonus. Basically, if their sire is the sire of the horse that won those stallion races, then we automatically send them a bonus check of $5,000. And this year, Penn Oak Stud was a recipient, Shadwell Farm in Kentucky. And we love to see our local people receive these bonuses. And Rockin' River Ranch right here in Iowa was also one of our recipients of that $5,000 bonus. To date, we've paid out over $90,000 just to stallion farms and owners.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So you have an incentive to donate your stallion on top of the fact that it's, you know, good advertising and a charitable act.
It is good advertising, and it's a charitable act to help promote racing here in the state of Iowa. Not only is it a charitable act, and not only does it help promote the stallion, but it also enhances the saleability of a particular mare or a particular mare and foal to a particular sire. As our office in Iowa here, after the auction is complete, we regularly get requests for stallions that sold through that season from major buyers in Kentucky and all over the country, so that they know, you know, that they can nominate that baby to the Iowa Stallion Stakes. When it just enhances the saleability of the mare a little bit, and they might bump up the price a little bit. So there's a lot of incentives to be a part of this stallion auction.
How long has it been going on?
The auction has been going on since Iowa started racing, basically. It was put together years ago, probably 18 years ago, by our past board members, and just been enhanced throughout the years. And little things added to it each and every year to make it more applicable for people to get involved. This year they've added a mayor bonus program, Iowa new mayor bonus program, and you can receive up to $20,000 in bonuses by polling your new or maiden mayor in the state of Iowa. By nominating your mayor, you are eligible for a $10,000 bonus if that poll is the leading money earner at Prairie Meadows for any season starting in 2022. That poll is only eligible to win the bonus just one year. There's also a $5,000 bonus if that foal went through the sale ring as a weanling or a yearling during the ITBOA fall sale. Also a $5,000 bonus if the foal is by a stallion that sold in the December 2017 ITBOA stallion season auction. So that's a total of $20,000 in bonuses just to go out, make the initiative to buy a new mare, bring her to the state of Iowa, or put a retired mare into the breeding program and put her in foal. It's just another incentive that our creative board has come up with.
Yeah, and I think you used the right word, Mike, creative. And so many state-bred programs have to be creative in enhancing their breeding programs and enhancing their racing product. And it sounds to me that the folks with the Iowa Thoroughbred Association are doing just that, that there's a lot of planning, a lot of thought that goes into this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that when you sit down and you look at everything and you come up with these new ideas, you have to be in a position where you say, all right, we got to do something a little bit different here. Is that right?
Yes, sir. They have to sit down and talk together. They come up with ideas. They throw them back and forth. We're very fortunate to have a elected, unpaid board that is more than willing to go out, come up with new ideas, new innovation, to bring new people into the business of racing horses. It's one of the funnest games in the world. I mean, how can you not enjoy a good horse race?
Yeah, you know, my favorite part of this whole program, and you touched on it just a few minutes ago, but all foals that are born in 2020, of course, we're sitting here in 2018, so all foals born in 2020, regardless of what state they are foaled, are eligible to nominate to the 2022 ITBOA Stallion Futurity, which is for the two-year-olds, and the 2023 Stallion Stakes for the three-year-olds. I think that's another great incentive to this whole program that you have there, Mike.
Yes, sir. Bear in mind that those stallions had to have sold through this auction that is coming, that will begin this evening.
Yep.
And they have to go sell through that. And we've just come up with a list here. We've got stallions donated from Darby Dam, Windstar, Gainesway, Hillendale, Spendthrift, Adair, Claiborne, TaylorMade, Pen Oak. We've got some of the best stud farms in the country donating their stallions to this auction.
Talking with Mike Connolly, who is the co-owner of Madison County Thoroughbreds here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Iowa Thoroughbred Auction beginning this evening. It goes through December 17th. You want to make sure that you head over to thoroughlybred.com/ITBOA to learn more. And, of course, you can always go right to the iowathoroughbred.com website to learn more about the entire program and all the different events that are taking place to benefit that racing program in Iowa. And as you can hear, they're doing some different things, some unique things that are very beneficial and making this a win-win across the board for everybody that's involved. Mike, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Where did this love of horse racing begin for Mike Connolly?
That's an interesting fact. It was actually before I was born. My father was very fortunate to be one of the leading riders in the country before he was sent to Korea. And when he came home from Korea, he was actually the exercise rider for Carryback and Roman Brother, two of the best horses in the country. In fact, American champion Carryback. And when I was born, I just grew up with him talking about those things and horse racing and being involved in horse racing. And the minute I got the opportunity, I wound up at Ocala Stud in Ocala, Florida, riding yearlings for them down there for Francis Jenner. From there, it just spawned to racetracks all over the country, and very fortunate to have been involved with and worked with some of the biggest names in the business, some of the biggest trainers, and rode a lot of stake horses in my career as an exercise rider. and then met my wife, and we began the farm. So the farm has come along very well. It's a tough road in Iowa, but you have to be very creative. You have to make it work, and we've been successful for 20 years doing that.
That's great. How many horses do you have on your farm?
Right now, we only have about 40. We expect more to come in here around the 1st of January that will foal here and become Iowa bred. Some of those will be shipped off to Kentucky to rebreed and come back. We have rules regarding horses being eligible to be Iowa bred, and those rules are available at the ITBOA website if you have any questions about that. But we'll probably have 60 to 70 around at all times, but they come and go, you know, and we have two stallions. We have Woke Up Dreaming and Sing Baby Sing. So we do a lot of breeding here as well as the foaling.
You're a busy man.
Yes, sir.
Mike, why was Iowa the right place to establish the farm and kind of settle in?
For us, my wife's family owns a farm here that is actually a century farm. It's been in their family for, I believe, 130 years now. It was just made a century farm this past summer, simply because they hadn't applied for it. It would have been sooner, but they decided to go ahead and do it. She basically brought me home here, and we worked together and rebuilt the entire farm and dedicated some of the property to the horse business, and some of it still remains in a farming program, and raised some corn and beans and a lot of hay. We put up a lot of hay here at the farm, so that's a good thing for us because we don't have to go out and buy it. It's all supplied right here on the farm.
Do you have a problem with deer on the farm? I can take care of that for you, Mike.
Actually, sir, I live so far back in the back here that you could sit on my front deck and get you a deer in the evening at any time. I've got probably 10 or 15 that graze on alfalfa right out front, right outside my door.
Great, excellent. I've got that on tape. I have permission to come hunt your back deck. Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
Yes, sir.
No, that's outstanding. I would actually love to make a visit. I've been to Prairie Meadows one time, would love to make a visit out to Iowa and get a chance to say hello to everybody out there. Your wife, Pam, also the vice president of the ITBOA, and your team and Pam and everybody there at the ITBOA just doing a tremendous job. I work closely with Brandy on a lot of initiatives. She has been just a Hall of Famer to work with. And, you know, just keep the ball rolling, Mike, because whatever you're doing it right.
Well, I'll tell you what, mentioning Brandy, I don't know what we would do without her. She is on the job all the time. She keeps everything straight.
Yeah,
that
just
is for sure.
Absolutely spectacular. And again, we'll remind people one more time. Mike, give us the details of the auction. Again, it begins this evening, goes all the way through December 17th. Give us the details on how people can check out the information and get involved.
Okay, you can go to the ITBOA website for the information about the auction at iowathoroughbred.com. Bidding does begin tonight at www.thoroughlybred.com/ITBOA. And we've got 127 stallions right now, more to come by the time this sale begins. And we look forward to a great auction. We sold 107 seasons last year for $191,000, and that was just all paid out to the Stallion Stakes races and the bonuses for folks. So a lot of money raised last year, looking to repeat on that.
Mike is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race for appearing on the program. You can visit EmbraceTheRace.com to wear what you love and embrace your passion. So, Mike, we'll get that gift out to you, and happy holidays, and great good luck with the auction. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir, and thank you. Happy holidays to everyone out there. Enjoy Christmas this year.
All right, you too. Mike Connolly, the co-owner of Madison County Thoroughbreds, and as you can hear, an integral part of everything good that's happening there in the state of Iowa with their program.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We need more people like Mike that take an interest in their local racing and support it, so happy to have him on.
All right, coming up next, we're going to visit with jockey Frankie Pennington, who guided Maximus Mischief to victory in the Remsen Stakes at Aqueduct last weekend. He'll join us right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, which is brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. You go see all the great people. They're horse people, and they'll talk horses with you. Then you'll get around to test driving the new Lexus. And trust me, you won't be disappointed. It's the Lexus store of Lexington, and this is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Racing for his breeder, Mrs. Phipps Wheatley Sable, this horse won the Juvenile, Youthful, and the Futurity as a two-year-old. At three, he was Horse of the Year after chalking up scores in the Flamingo, Wood Memorial, Preakness, Bahamas, Trenton, Queens County, Vosburgh, and Benjamin Franklin handicaps. He equaled the track record in the Bahamas in going the seven-panel distance in 122 flat. He set a new track record in winning the Vosburgh seven furlongs in 121 and 4, a new track record for nine furlongs in copping the Flamingo in 147 flat, and went the same distance in nailing down the Wood in 148 and 4. As a three-year-old, are you listening out there, horseman? He was asked to shoulder 136 pounds in winning the Ben Franklin. He packed 130 in the Vosburgh, the highest weight ever shouldered by a three-year-old in that event. At the age of four, he won the Toboggan under 133 pounds, the Carter under 135, the Stymie packing 133, and the Suburban and the Monmouth toting 134 pounds. When he hung up his running shoes, as it were, he had started 33 times and had won 23 with 4 seconds and two-thirds. He became the leading sire with only two crops of racing age in 1963, and his stud services very quickly rose to the level of almost being beyond affordability. His reign as leading North American sire for seven consecutive seasons was not only heretofore unmatched, but not even remotely approached at that time in the 20th century. Bull Lee and Lexington had stood alone in their time, but this horse literally dwarfed all his competitors in the breeding shed in terms of successive progeny on the racetrack. There was a question raised from time to time regarding his ability to impart stamina to his get, although he had won in the 1 3/16 mile Preakness and the 1 1/4 mile Trenton, Suburban, and Monmouth handicaps. The vast majority of his get exhibited blazing speed on the racetrack. There were a number of his get, however, that could be classified as stayers, including among those would be Lamb Chop, Bateur, Bull Bitter, Stahanas, Bull Dower, Dewan, Successor, and Gamely, just to name a few. They were all winners in stakes company at 1 1/4 miles or better. He was a leading sire of two-year-olds for 5 seasons, 3 of those consecutively. The uninterrupted 8-year reign at stud for this horse, and 12 years in all, including that of his sire Nazrella, is a record to this day for a father-son combination. His progeny often did not have extended racing careers. They were too valuable at stud. Just hearken to this list in addition to those already mentioned, and really, time precludes doing due justice to this prodigious and lengthy compilation. Bull Commander, Bull Princess, Speedwell, Bull Queen, Beautiful Day, Chieftain, Bull Lad, Time for Bed, Cornish Prince, Bold Experience, Jacinto, Staunchness, Jove, Bold Nesian, Queen Empress, Great Power, My Boss Lady, Disciplinarian, Master Bull, What a Pleasure, Big Advance, Virginia Delegate, Irish Castle, Raja Baba, Plumbold, and on. In a word, absolutely awesome. This particular titan of the turf was foaled at Claiborne April 6, 1954, and that was a most noteworthy indeed day for that farm and racing as a whole. You see, 1/2 hour after this foal was dropped, another foal was brought into the racing world who in time on the racetrack became the world's leading money winner, Round Table. The marvelous thoroughbred that has been the subject of this dissertation went his way to the great paddock in the sky July 12, 1971, and with him went a remarkable record on the racetrack and in the breeding shed. He was Bold Ruler.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two grain bread? Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three grain sub bread? Three is not enough. How about four grain? Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. Want to make it rain? 8 grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new 9 grain wheat sub. It's going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new 9 grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak yeah.
Maryland Bred and Sire Juveniles take center stage today with a pair of $100,000 stakes, the Maryland Juvenile Futurity and the Maryland Juvenile Filly Championship, both at 7 furlongs. Included in the card is the 6-furlong, $75,000 Howard M. Bender Memorial for Maryland Bred or Sired 3-year-olds and up. Play the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park, now racing Friday through Sunday. First post time is 12:30. For more information, visit laurelpark.com.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They're a quarter of a mile from home. Maximus Mischief. Tax is putting the heat on at the top of the stretch. Maximus Mischief is asked to run now, gets a reminder and opens up a length. Tax is second, five back to Network Effect in third, followed by Bourbon War. They're coming to the 16th pole, and it's Maximus Mischief proving he's the real deal as he opens up late. A belated rally from Network Effect. Maximus Mischief wins the Remsen. Network Effect found his best ride late to finish second. Then it was Tax and Bourbon War.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, that is the Baron, and the Pontiff, and we are with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Happy to have you back with us on this chilly morning here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Good time to curl up on the couch with a podcast of this show and all of our HRN shows and just kind of grab a cup of coffee and maybe a cup of hot chocolate and kick back and listen to some of the podcast of all of our programming, which you can do at horseracingradio.net. Frank Miramati had the call of the Remsen Stakes last weekend at Aqueduct, and Maximus Mischief, the son of Spendthrift Stallion Into Mischief, remaining undefeated with that performance. He did it under jockey Frankie Pennington, who is with us now here on HRRN. Frankie, welcome, my friend, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, big effort from this horse, huh? Talk about that race.
You know, he went in the race going good. He was breathing very well before coming up to that race, and in the paddock he was usually, you know, he's in the paddock when I go in the paddock, he's on his back legs walking, and in New York he was like a professional. He went there and he was cool as a cucumber.
So he's learning the ropes, huh? He's learning what this racing game's all about. He's only had three races.
Yeah, and I mean, he's like, once the bell rings, I mean, he's all business, and he likes what he's doing.
Yeah, and the fractions, when you got out to the front end, the fractions were relatively sensible. But I had read after the race that you mentioned that he relaxed really nicely under you. Talk a little bit about that and how he settled in.
Yeah, you know, the first two times I rode him and he broke out of the gate, I mean, he shot out like a quarter horse. He was rolling. And I was kind of, going two turns for the first time. I was kind of thinking, man, he's going to might try to jump out there and do the same thing. And but Butch did a good job with him, training him and everything, and when he getting him ready. And when he broke sharp like himself. And going up in that first turn, he pricked his ears up and just kind of – he just relaxed right off the bit. And I said, oh, it's gonna be a good trip.
You can tell that early?
Yeah. You know, with some horses, you know, you can feel them. When they put the ears up, you'll feel them like – kind of just waiting for you to ask them before they respond. And that's what he did. You know, some horses, they break and they just, you know, give everything they got for as far as they can go. But he broke and he put his ears up and he was just waiting on me to tell him when to do it. So that was a good feeling going in up into the first turn.
Had you gotten on him before his first race?
Yes. Actually, a funny story. I worked a two-year-old for Butch the week before I ever got on Maximus, and the two-year-old worked really, really good for Butch Reed. And Butch goes, look, the next following week, he goes, look, I want you to work this colt. I really like him. So I'm like, all right. So I was going out with Luis Fuentes, and he was working the horse that I worked the previous week. And I told him, I go, Luis, that horse is going to work good. That horse really can run. I worked him last week, and he was dragging me. He's like, all right. So we went and started working. I mean, and the horse, when I was on Maximus, he was just dragging me away from the other one, and the other one worked really, really good last time. I was like, wow, this guy, he's special.
Yeah, there's always one that's better in the barn, right? They always tell you that. Yeah, you like that one? Well, we got one that's better, right? And it's never better. But this time it was better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Frankie, when you have a horse like this that is so, of course, lightly raced, very young, still learning in a lot of aspects of this game, and he's stretching out and going two turns for the first time, as a jockey, what is your approach going into a race like that where he's going to be stretching out and trying to get a longer distance?
Yeah, my main goal was just trying to get him to relax. That way he can, you know, save himself for that last eighth of a mile, quarter of a mile down the stretch. And when he's running short the first two times, I mean, he was just like a bull. He's the man on a mission, and he wanted to, you know, make sure he got it. But when he broke and he relaxed and pricked his ears and came back to me, I mean, that was a big relief. And you could see each time he's running, he's got such a good head on his shoulders, and he's just all class for it.
All right, for those of us like myself who have never ridden a race, never even thought about being a jockey, even from a very young age, trust me, I was out of the box at about age 7. I had no chance to be a jockey because I weighed too much already. But for those of us who have never been in that position, we hear jockeys talk about getting a horse to relax all the time. Put me in the saddle with you. How do you get a horse to relax? How do you do it?
You know, sometimes it's just letting them be themselves. You know what I mean? Some horses are harder to relax. Some horses, you know, they're just very keen, and they, you know, they just want to run and beat the other horse. It don't matter if it's going long or short. But some horses, you know what I mean, you just kind of let them relax themselves, and they'll come back to you. You know what I mean? Instead of, you know, some horses, I mean, all horses are different. Some horses, if you drop the reins on them, they'll relax to you. Some horses, if you drop the reins, they'll just take off with you. I mean, each horse is a little, you know, got their different ways of doing stuff, but yeah, it's all just different stuff like that. You kind of have to mess with them a little bit and kind of get the hang of them and see what they like and what they don't like.
When you were preparing to ride them in the Remsen, did the mile and an eighth scare you a little bit? Were you concerned about the distance?
You know, I knew he would go the mile and an eighth. I just didn't know, you know what I mean, from 7/8 to mile and eighth. I knew Butch, I mean, trained him. I mean, Butch got him really ready for the race. Butch trained him really good for the race. And I mean, that made me definitely gave me a, you know, a lot of confidence in him. And the horse, he's just such a magnificent horse. I just knew he was going to, whether he got tired or not, he was going to give it all he had.
Frankie, we're still a ways away from that first Saturday in May next year, but it's never too early to start thinking about it, especially when you have a promising young two-year-old like Maximus Mischief. But we're 147 days away. The goal will be a mile and a quarter on that particular day. What signs is he showing you? What are you feeling underneath you that gives you the confidence that this horse can get a mile and a quarter?
I mean, he just keeps surprising me. I mean, everything he does, he does it at ease. So, I mean, I think, especially with that mile and a rate, the mile and an eighth race in New York and Winston, I think that showed right there he can go the, you know, mile and a quarter, and he'll keep doing it from there.
Let's talk about you for a minute. You've created a really nice career for yourself, but I notice that you've been making some successful trips to New York. How's that working out? Are you thinking about maybe, you know, changing circuits, or are you going to stay home where you're at?
I mean, I like it here in Philly where I'm at. You know, they got the year-round racing, and I write for a lot of good people like Butch Reed, John Service, you know, Marcos, a lot of different trainers that I, you know, that have nice horses that I ride for. So, it's, you know, I do like it. I'm living in Philly, and you know what I mean. At that time never comes, or the opportunity comes. I mean, that'll be then. But as of now, I mean, I love it here with all the people that I ride for.
Well, Frankie, you're the leading rider at Parks, and you kind of found yourself in that position here the past several years where you're, you know, one of the top riders there each and every year, if not the top rider. You know, being a big fish in a small pond, that worked out okay for guys like Russell Bayes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That guy's got so many wins. It's, you know what I mean? Every rider wishes to get that many wins. That guy.
Yeah, Frankie Pennington with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He guided Maximus Mischief to victory in the Remsen last Saturday at Aqueduct. He's ridden more than 2,300 winners in his career, and as we told you, the leading rider at Parks in Pennsylvania. Frankie, you've been at this for about 15 years or so, I guess, and the last 4 years have been really good for you, especially considering the fact that the greatest stakes victories that you've been able to accomplish have all come in the last 4 years. What's been different about these past 4 years?
You know, it's just you know, riding for the right people, you know what I mean, the right ones, and getting them you know, getting lucky with the right two-year-olds and being able to go on in that situation where those two-year-olds can bring you those better races.
Well, he's done it, and he's done it very, very well the past several years. Tight End Touchdown gave him his first Greatest Stakes victory in 2015 in the Parks Dash. He came back with Always Sunshine in 2016 with the Maryland Sprint Handicap. Won the Parks Dash again this year with Vision Perfect, and now Maximus Mischief takes the Grade 2 Remsen. And your first Grade 2 victory as well, Frankie, so congrats on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was definitely a special moment in my career.
You know, you think back to where you were last year, last fall, after the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs, where your horse clipped heels, you came off the horse, you were in the hospital, you had to have surgery. I've asked several jockeys this, but after something like that happens, what is it that makes you want to get back in the saddle again? How do you do it?
You know, it's honestly, I think all us riders, you know, we love horses so much, and we love what we do, so... Like, I mean, I was probably driving my wife nuts, you know, after the first week of being in the house. She was trying to wait to get me out. Like, I was chomping at the bit, couldn't wait to come back and ride and do what I love.
Is it maybe even a little more rewarding, considering the year you've had winning two greatest stakes races and all the victories you've had? Is it more rewarding now, considering everything you had to battle through after that injury last year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, as my career goes on, you know, every step of my career, you know, is, you know, I cherish every moment, and I appreciate every day.
Well, he's cherishing every moment. He's had a lot of good ones in the past several years. He is jockey Frankie Pennington, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Frankie will send that gift to you, and safe trip every time you get a leg up, and really appreciate the visit here this morning. Congrats on all the success.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, jockey Frankie Pennington here on HRRN. Good guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's really nice, too, that some of the trainers that he rides for at Parks, when they ship a horse to Saratoga or you know, Aqueduct or Belmont or whatever, they'll send him along. And that's because they have their choice of riders, you know, in New York, especially at Saratoga. You got the cream of the crop there, but they have enough confidence in him and they want him to continue riding their horses. And that's great.
Seems like he has a great relationship with Butch Reed, too, who is, by the way, going to be our special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton next Wednesday night. So we'll talk to Butch about that victory in the Remsen, and he's been part of so many big wins in his career. We'll talk to him and ask him about that relationship with Frankie, too, because they do have a very strong relationship. And look, it's one of those situations where we talk about this every year when we get on the Kentucky Derby trail. These jockeys like Frankie Pennington who ride on smaller circuits, they get a big horse like this, and all of a sudden the allure of getting like a Hall of Fame jockey, like maybe a Javier Castellano or a John Velasquez, is too much to resist. And so many owners will say, hey, we're changing it up here. We're taking you off the horse. We're going with another one. You and I both hate that decision. Bad karma.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I wrote an article for Blood Horse about it.
Yeah.
They never win.
It never works out, right? No. Very rarely does it ever work out. No. Stick with the one who got you there.
That's right. Dance with the guy who brung you. That's what Charlie Whittingham always
There's something
said.
To be said. Frankie Pennington, obviously, not that they're even talking about taking him off this horse. I'm not saying that. But it's a situation that occurs every year when we start going down the road to the Kentucky Derby.
And then, you look at the guys that stuck with their riders, the Ronnie Franklins of the world, and the Steve Coffins. You know, every agent in California was trying to get unaffirmed.
Yeah.
Right? And last stuck with Steve Cotton.
Like Baffert sticking with that Mike Smith guy last year.
Yeah. Well, no accounting for personal taste.
A little different situation there with the Hall of Famer. But all right, cool. We're going to get to a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll spend a little time just touching on the big races out on the West Coast today. You have the Los Al Futurity. You have the Starlet Stakes. We'll touch on those a little bit more, and then we'll tell you what's ahead in the second half of the program. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Attention horsemen, the 2018 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 8th to the 17th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses in 2018 of just over $280,000. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2020, regardless of what state they are foaled, are eligible to nominate to our 2022 ITDOA Stallion Futurity for two-year-olds and 2023 Stallion Stakes for three-year-olds. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com. 2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for 12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm. Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And it's Shackleford who still leads. Here's Nero on the outside, and Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside who goes the lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby. Nero in second. In third came Mucho Macho Man. In fourth was Shackleford. And then Master of Hounds, Santiva, Brilliant Speed. And then Pants on Fire and Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion and John Velasquez who took Derby 1:37.
Mark Johnson with the call. Animal Kingdom rolling to victory in the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs, and we were there to bring you that coverage here on HRRN, and what a moment it was for Animal Kingdom and Graham Motion, his trainer, and for Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. That was John's first victory in the Kentucky Derby. He would come back and win it again, but that was his first one. And Johnny V recording his 6,000th victory earlier this week, and we're going to talk to the Hall of Famer coming up here in just a little bit. He'll join us at 9:20 Eastern. Mike Dianzaris coming your way at 9 o'clock Eastern time from Embrace the Race. And Darren Fox, who is the sales manager at Darley America, is going to be with us to tell you all about the Darley Stallions in our brand new Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. That comes your way at 9:40 Eastern time. So it's a very busy second half of the show. Animal Kingdom, of course, standing at Darley now as well. So a good tie-in there with that rejoin clip, and looking forward to the visits with all those individuals coming up in just a little bit. Jude, we threw out a poll question at HRN on Twitter, and we, not a poll question, more of a trivia question today. Johnny V, one of 18 riders in history to win 6,000 or more races. There are currently 4 active riders, Johnny and 3 others. We want to know who the other 3 are. So you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Let us know the other 3 riders currently riding, active riders, with 6,000 or more victories. Let's see how many people get that question right here this morning.
What do we got so far?
I'll have to skip back through the Twitter feed here and find out. We'll take a look here in just a minute and pass along those results later in the program if we get time. All right. Couple of minutes before we have to get to the top of the hour break. Let's look at the races in California, JT. I said the Los Al Futurity is on tap and the Starlet. Let's take a look at those real quick. Who do you like?
Yeah, we talked about the Los Al Futurity earlier. Baffert's got 2 really nice horses, Improbable, who will probably be the favorite and the most likely winner. And then Mucho Gusto, who's stretching out for the first time. He's a son of Mucho Macho Man, and he's 2 for 2. Both of Baffert's horses are undefeated 2 for 2. So it looks like he's got that race pretty much surrounded. He's number 1 and number 6, so he's bookending it.
Yeah, looking for a 5th consecutive win. It'd be 11 overall for the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, not a shocker there. And then the Starlet Stakes is actually a lot more competitive. It's a field of 6 horses as well. Vibrance is in there for Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners for Mike McCarthy. She was 3rd behind Jayhawk in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. She's very talented. Mother is Baffert's entrant, fantastic filly. She's won two races in three starts, has the second in the Grade 1 Del Mar Debutante.
All right, well, we're going to find out later today who gets the victories in those races. Race 5 is the Los Al Futurity. Race 7 is the Starlet. Well, again, a very busy second half of the show. It includes Mike D'Anzaris, it includes John Velasquez, and it includes Darren Fox. We're going to get to that all when we come back. We'll do that in just a minute, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we are your home for the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, and the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We're back right after this.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Monomoy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Bizou. Monomoy Girl has won the distance.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on a busy Saturday morning from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, and happy to have you back with us. If you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this show and all of our programs. They're there for you to stream at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. Interviews with Mike Connolly talking about the Iowa Thoroughbred Auction, which begins later on this evening, runs through the 17th of December. He joined us in the first half of the show along with jockey Frankie Pennington, looking back on that victory in the Grade 2 Remsen with Maximus Mischief. So it was a fun first half of the show. Really enjoyed both of those interviews and looking forward to a busy second half.
Yeah, everything's going along swimmingly.
And, as they say.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun second half. Can't wait to talk to Johnny V.
All right, Johnny V coming up 9:20 Eastern. Again, Darren Fox with our new Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence, 9:40 Eastern time. But now we turn our attention to the horse racing fan on your list, and we've been telling you for years on this program that you can embrace your passion and embrace the race at EmbraceTheRace.com. And now you can embrace the season as we move closer to looking at Christmas gifts for that person on your list. And to help us with the discussion here is our good friend Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race. Mike, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, good morning, guys. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and I hope everybody is doing well out there, and especially to you two. I hope you guys are doing great. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Same to you, my friend. And this must be an extremely busy time for everyone at Embrace the Race.
Yeah, I'm hesitating because, we are keeping people busy. We've been really blessed as we've been for years. But especially this year, as we move to our new location in downtown Saratoga Springs with our flagship retail, which of course you guys visited this past summer, the growth of our brand, both digitally and socially, and really just the expansion of it. So to say that the holiday season has been busy historically is true, and to say that it's been even busier this year is even more true. So it's exciting. I was talking with our shipping manager this morning, and yesterday alone there was, you know, the traditional New York, California, Kentucky shipments from a racing perspective to where we shipped. And then there was Iowa, there was North Carolina, there was Nebraska, there was Illinois, there was Ontario, Canada. So the spirit of racing is spreading, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, you have fans all over the place, and I always get a kick out of seeing people wearing Embrace the Race apparel whenever we travel. It's always cool. It makes you feel like you have a connection to that person, and I think that's what you have always been striving for with your brand.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Thanksgiving holiday weekend, we got, a couple of, emails and texts from people from, who were on a plane to Cancun, to people who were at Disney riding up an escalator who saw an Embrace the Race shirt and reached out and to that person and then to us with a photo of them together. That was pretty cool. So, yeah, it's we're proud of certainly what we put forth, as you guys well know, but I think what's even more exciting is the way we're inspired by our customers, by your listeners, by the industry, by racing people. We're inspired by their belief in what it means to embrace the race, and certainly the response to what we do is awesome, and we're very grateful for the way people love to wear what they love, as they say. So we're excited about it.
Well, and at the very core, Mike, that's what Embrace the Race has always been about. When you think back to our initial discussions when you were first launching the brand and the products, and you were telling me about the fact that it's not about just one race. It's not about just the Kentucky Derby. It's not about one horse or one trainer or one owner. It's about the sport. And the sport is popular on so many different levels with people all over the country, all over the world. And now you're getting a chance to see that firsthand through your customer base. And that's really neat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly it. That's the story. That's what people, live. That's what racing people enjoy. That's what racing people stand for, is the belief in the ongoing, pursuit of excellence, that belief in what it means to embrace the race, and the idea that racing people have their own brand and can wear from Mexico to Disney to work on Saturday or a soccer game on Friday or a wedding is exactly what we stand for, and that's pretty cool.
And it doesn't hurt that the product itself is simply spectacular. You created a logo that is absolutely gorgeous and just beautiful, and then you've created products that are spectacular too. And we feel very comfortable when we say you're going to receive a gift from Embrace the Race, and we know that you guys are sending them a gift, and we're comfortable and very proud to be able to be partnered with you guys to be able to send people that, because they are spectacular. And you think about the clothing and the accessories and the jewelry and so much more. Talk about some of the products that when folks go to EmbraceTheRace.com, they're going to be able to shop for this season.
Yeah, so we always talk about, it's everything from, 14-karat gold jewelry to baseball hats to ties and tote bags and sweaters and everything in between. And really, it's the epitome of what a lifestyle brand is meant to be. If you embrace the race, if you believe in that spirit of what that phrase stands for, and if you believe in the spirit of racing, then we've got something for you, whether it's casual work Friday or business boardroom or a soccer game or hockey game with your family on a weekend. So it's really across the board. So at EmbraceTheRace.com, you can find everything, obviously sorted by category, by product type, by men, by women. And then, of course, we have a great, corporate and gift and custom program, too, that people can take advantage of.
And the quality, that's what I always tell people, how great everything is. I mean, every piece of merchandise that you sell is top quality, and it's always so beautiful. And, the fabrics are great, and the colors, and everything's just as good as you would want to have it if you're going to give that gift to somebody that you care about.
It's true. Yeah. We put a ton of time into all our sourcing, all our products, all our items, and the way the logo is prominently, but in a classy, subtle way displayed. And, that's exactly it, because as we always say, we talk about all the time, with our staff and with our customers, we live by the flipbook test. That flipbook test for us is, is the product great? Is the logo great? Is our message with our customers great? Is our customer service great? And is the store look great? And if all of that matches up and you flip that flipbook and nothing pops out, then we're doing our job. And, we've been really, pleased and humbled with the way that you know, racing, and I think, and Michael, we've talked about this at large, people who are at best racing enthusiasts in a casual sense, wear our brand, love our brand, and that's really the cool story for racing, is that it's not just core racing people that love it. Of course they do, but it's a larger audience that's just connecting with a great logo and a larger spirit of what the brand means.
Visiting with Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion, wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We tell you that each and every week here on the program. And Mike, we're spending a lot of time talking about the website, which is newly redesigned. It is really pretty, really interactive. It's a great platform for people to go check out the gifts. But you mentioned the new store on Broadway, 327 yeah. Broadway in Saratoga. Talk a little bit about the store and the way things have come together there for you.
Yeah, that was really exciting. You know, you guys, of course, remember where we started and where we are now. And, you know, we're right in the heart of downtown Broadway. You know, we always have believed in building a brand that our customers and the industry could be proud of. And when an opportunity came up to move into a building that had your shared tenants on Broadway, downtown Saratoga Springs, and your shared tenants of Gap, Banana, at Loft, and Aveda, those are some pretty credible brands to be associated with. And we felt it was a great opportunity, not only for our business and for our customers, but for racing to have such a prominent place on Broadway in racing's, you know, what many folks, you know, revere as one of racing's hometowns. So it's a beautiful place. It's got sort of a Soho, New York City feel, but very warm, very rich. Everything was custom designed, custom built, handmade oak shelves, and yet really cool, modern, and a massive 70-plus screen, flat, you know, 70-plus inch flat screen TV that sort of, you know, projects our social media, projects videos, and there's a lot more to come there this year that will not only happen at the store, but be projected through our social media campaigns, which continue to grow, on Facebook and Instagram and so on.
Yeah, you also send out some really classy-looking emails with beautiful photographs, and you've done that now for the holiday season as well. And I'm looking, I see your beautiful wife, Jill. I see your daughter, Sophia. I'm looking for my man, Mikey, though. Where is he in these pictures?
He's on the ice skating. He couldn't make the photo shoot.
You better be careful there with Sophia. She looks like a supermodel. You better watch out.
Yeah, exactly. We yanked her away from the skating rink as well, but she doubled quite well. So the photo shoot process that we've done several of them throughout the summer, fall. We've got a schedule planned for next year. We're actively looking right now for some really unique places, not only throughout the country. We did a photo shoot in Iceland in November, which you'll see some of those photos in the spring. Some of them have trickled out already. We've done urban settings. We're looking for some farm settings. So it's been a really interesting and fun process to see the way these photo shoots come together. And the folks that we have that are models for us really embody the brand. They're young professionals. They're successful in their own right. They have businesses. You know, they happen to be attractive folks, too, which certainly helps. But, you know, more importantly, you know, you can tell when we meet with the models and customers who volunteer to be part of our shoots, you know, they got to have a look in their eye. They got to really believe in it, and they want to be a part of it. And when you find that person, we just sort of turn the photographer loose and say, go get it. And you come back with these really natural, beautiful shots because the brand really evokes a level of excitement and passion and style. And you just sort of let people run with it and turn around and go, wow, you got a great photo shoot. So we're actually going to be doing some behind the scenes things with our videos and our photo shoots for the upcoming year, which I think our customers will really enjoy. And like I said, we're actively looking now for some places. You know, the Iceland shoot went awesome, and we think there's some great opportunities overseas as well to do that.
Well, the good thing is you don't have to be really good looking to look good and embrace the race.
We're living proof.
We can attest to that.
And by the way, I'm a little ticked off that he's never once asked us to do any modeling for him.
I wouldn't if I was him.
they want me included in some of those? And I say, absolutely not. Everybody can be so we're fine.
He is Mike Dianzaris. Again, you can go to embracetherace.com to embrace your passion and to wear what you love. It's all at embracetherace.com. And, of course, if you're in the Saratoga Springs area, stop by the new store at 327 Broadway. You won't be disappointed. Mike, really appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race.
Oh, that's great. Very nice. We'll flag that one so it doesn't get shipped right back to us.
Yeah. Pick out something nice for yourself.
That's right. Well, Mike, guys, listen, as always, thank you very much for, not only what you do with Embrace the Race, but what you do with racing and your hustle throughout the year, bouncing all over the country, really, to bring great racing to people. We're always inspired by the racing industry, but what racing people do, it's an honor to serve everybody. And if folks are still looking, which there's plenty of time for holiday gifts, we've got time. We'll ship. We'll help. Give a call. Whatever it is, we'll embracetherace.com is where it starts. And on Christmas morning and that special holiday day is where it'll end with a great gift. So hope you enjoy it.
Excellent. Mike, Merry Christmas. Give a hug to everybody there at the family with Jill and Sophia and Mikey and everybody. And I appreciate the visit.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Mike. Mike Dianzaris, Embrace the Race. Again, embracetherace.com is where you can go. And trust me, you won't be disappointed. You can be very proud to be able to give that gift this holiday season. It is time now for your Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. And after this, we'll visit with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. It is. Your Blood Horse News Update, again, brought to you by bloodhorse.com. And this comes from the Symposium on Racing in Tucson, Arizona. Sports betting, not the golden goose for racing. That's right. At any conference, symposium, or gathering of executives in any industry, certain terms, jargon, and buzzwords can permeate the topics discussed. The topics that are discussed. The word the morning of December 5th at the University of Arizona's Global Symposium on Racing in Tucson was golden goose. The term referred to the potential impact of legalized sports wagering on the horse racing industry, and the panel of speakers in a discussion titled Sports Betting Coming to a Jurisdiction Near You largely dispelled that notion. There was even a mention of the goose getting killed, believe it or not. Yeah. That's all there for you. You can read the whole article at bloodhorse.com, and that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Blood Horse, the industry's only weekly magazine and tablet, has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years. If you want to follow the sport and the industry, there is no better way than with Blood Horse Magazine. And here's a special offer you can take advantage of right now. Save 70% off the cover price, plus get a 2019 Blood Horse wall calendar valued at $24.95. And you can get the calendar free and take advantage of that 70% discount off the cover price right now. You can do that at bloodhorse.com/winter special. Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez looks back on win number 6,000 and some of the other moments in his career that he's never going to forget. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday, with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th. A program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit gulfstreampark.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million-dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
And Singapore Trader opens up too. Phone Funky Monkey trying his best, but fully extended under the whip. Four lengths back to Mango M. There are no coincidences. It's Pletcher for Johnny V's 6,000th victory. And ladies and gentlemen, the New York Racing Association salutes one of the all-time greats, John Velasquez, win number 6,000 on Singapore Trader. Phone Funky Monkey second. Mango M was third, then Beach Access and Ode to the Hunt battling it out for fourth. Congratulations, Johnny V.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats indeed. Frank Miramati had the call of that victory for Johnny V back at Aqueduct on November 30th, and what a day it was. He wins it for trainer Todd Pletcher. He also won his 5,000th career victory for Todd down at Gulfstream Park. So no stranger to teaming up with the super trainer Todd Pletcher and having success, but the relationship goes beyond that. We're going to talk to Johnny coming up in just a moment or two, and we'll ask him about that. John Velasquez, by virtue of that victory, is indeed your industry star of the week for this week. In this segment, in this interview, brought to you by Stuart Morris. Stuart offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation, and he'd like to thank all of their owners, their clients, and their team. Their success, believe me, Stuart knows this, it's because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including the likes of Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. And again, John Velasquez, by virtue of that win number 6,000, what a performance it was by the horse Singapore Trader. And for Johnny V, a special moment. He is your industry star of the week, and he's with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Johnny, first of all, congratulations, and thanks for spending a little time with us here this morning.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
You said in after the race, I read an article, and you said that that everybody was asking you when it was going to happen as you were getting closer to that number. But for you, it was just another number. Were you able to keep it in check like that?
Absolutely. You know, I never been a big thing about chasing numbers or anything like that. But, you know, I think I concentrate more about try to do the job that I'm supposed to do and try to do it well, you know, and actually winning races, which is that's what it's all about. I guess one day when I retire, look back and you look and you should be proud of what you accomplished. But for now, I'm still here, you know, I like to do the best job I can do and concentrate on those things. So I, this, the numbers things, I don't really chase anything.
Well, you ride five or six a day. You've got plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. You've got plenty of paperwork to do without adding up all your victories, right? It's kind of like the song, you know, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. And I think that's kind of, you know, what you're known for is going out there and giving it your best every race that you ride. And people certainly know who you are.
Absolutely, you know, you got to prepare for every race you ride. I mean, every little bit counts, and winning is the number one thing.
Johnny, how about when it finally did happen? Though, was there maybe a little sense of relief that hey, okay, now it's behind me. People have been asking me about it. Let's just go win some more races. Was it that type of feeling?
Absolutely. I mean, it was about a week or 2 weeks that people started. Already talking about the 6,000, so you know, it just kind of keeps repeating and repeating. So once it's over, you know, done with it, it's over and move on. You know what I mean? So I don't have to keep going back to the same thing. But you know, it's definitely a little bit of relief.
Yeah, and you win number 6,000 for your longtime friend and longtime supporter Todd Pletcher. You won number 5,000 aboard a Todd Pletcher trained horse at Gulfstream Park as well. Talk about that relationship. It goes back a long ways, but Todd and you have been very close for a very long time.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, it's just to be in a relationship like that for too many years. And if you look back, it had to be at least 20 years and that we've been, you know, working together. So it's been a wonderful, you know, partnership. And I am very glad and appreciated that he's given me the opportunities that he has given me in all these years, you know.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Charlie Whittingham and Bill Shoemaker. I mean, just an outstanding team, and you guys, you never waver from one another. You're always supporting one another, and two guys that are at the top of their profession that are working together. It's got to be just a lot of fun to go to work every day.
Absolutely. You know, when you have somebody behind you and giving you the trust that he's given me and the communication that we can talk about anything, what happens in the race or what with the particular horse and what we can change about ourselves. So you feel very confident and you go with all the confidence in the world, you know, to go and do the best job you can do. So it makes it a lot easier, trust me. It's so much better.
Johnny, I know you said that you don't look back very often. You're always looking ahead, thinking about winning that next race, and that's probably the right approach. But when you do stop for a minute and you think about coming here, what, 1990, beginning your riding career from Puerto Rico, you didn't speak a whole lot of English. You were watching The Little Mermaid to learn English. To think back on where you were then and where you are now, what goes through your mind?
I know, absolutely. I mean, I know where I came from. I definitely don't forget about that. And like you said, I didn't speak very much English when I came here. So proud that everything... what's happened, you know, in my career, and it's been really good to me and my family, and my family back in Puerto Rico. So you got to be feel proud and humble for the things that has given to you so far in my career, and very blessed. I always think that I'm, you know, a very, very blessed person. So, you know, you just got to take it as it goes and give thank God for everything you have been given.
What's it like to have all these young riders look up to you?
Well, you gotta be proud, obviously, because obviously they're looking up to you, and like I did when I came to New York, and all those top riders were in New York, and you look up to them, you ask a lot of questions, and you want to learn. So the same thing happens when a lot of kids come in, and you do want to help out, you want to give back, and I think it makes it better for everybody anyway. Riding with the better riders is safer, obviously, and makes a better environment to be around kids like that, and you hope that they continue doing. I mean, it's a lot of young kids right now that are incredible. They're doing really well, and you're proud to those kids, you know, that you try to help out and see how they're doing.
Yeah, I know you'll spend some time talking with the younger riders, quite a bit of time, actually, Johnny. I know you kind of take them under your wing. When you came here, you first started riding in the States, what were some of the things that were told to you, some of the best advice that you received from people when you first started here?
Well, when I first got here, Angel always told me, you learn from the good riders and you learn from the not such good riders, meaning the bad riders too. You got to watch them. you got to watch them both, because you don't want to make the same mistakes the other people make. So, you know, so that's those are the things that you first start listening and try to learn that, you know, it's like, look at the mistakes that you don't want to make those mistakes. And that's basically one of the things that really stuck in my mind for a long time, because the less mistakes you make, the better it is. So, you know, so you try to, when you go out there, prepare yourself so that you don't make the same mistakes the other ones are making. And obviously the outcome is much better. So, that's probably one of the best advice I got when I got to New York. And an angel says, like, you know, you really learn for the best, and you really learn for not so best, you know. But it's just not make as many mistakes. It's very important when you go out there and ride horses.
Well, I've been going to the races for 58 years, and I can say this unequivocally, you make fewer mistakes than any jockey I've ever seen in my life.
Well, thank you. You know, I try to prepare myself the best I can, you know, and we all make mistakes. It's very true, because I'm not perfect either. And then we all make a lot of mistakes, but I just try to make it the least possible, you know, so at least it counts. You know, I think you prepare yourself to do the best, and you should be prepared when you go out there. And that's the way I look at it.
Talking with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez on the Horse Racing Radio Network, one of just 18 jockeys in history ever to record 6,000 career victories. And he did that back on November 30th at Aqueduct with a big victory by Singapore Trader. And Johnny, shortly before that point, you celebrated your 47th birthday. So I'm going to ask you this, 47 years old, you're the sport's all-time leading money-earning rider. What still motivates John Velasquez, and how much longer do we think we're going to see Johnny V in the saddle?
You know, I don't have a timetable. I always thought, you know, by 45, 47, right between there, you know, it'll be a thing. But right now I'm healthy. I feel really good. You know, I'm probably stronger than ever. Getting the opportunities that you know, that are still gets me excited, you know, and going back and that's the way I'm looking at it right now. If I have fun with it and I get some really nice horses to stick around for a little longer, I just go little by little, you know, and see where it takes me.
Yeah, well, I hope you get good horses for the next 10 years.
Thank you.
Johnny, when you wrap up this weekend, you're going to head out to Las Vegas, and you're going to head there for the Jockeys Guild Annual Assembly. It's something I've had the privilege to be part of on a couple of occasions and really enjoyed being there. It's on Monday, December 10th, Tuesday, December 11th, and it's going to be right next to the MGM Grand Hotel. Talk to us a little bit about what folks can expect to come out of those meetings.
Well, you know, it's always an educational and see what we have done in the past, how the guild where it has come from, basically, and then what were our plans for the future, you know, what we can do to make it better for the guild. And, you know, to make it short, basically we want to make sure the safety is number first. We don't compromise the safety. We educate ourselves and make sure that we wear the equipment that we wear. We still searching for better helmets and better vests that, you know, minimize injuries. Communications with the racetracks, you know, make sure that we serve our peers the way they're supposed to be served, you know, make sure that everything is going the right way. Financial, actually, we try to teach the same thing for our members, financials, what they need to do so everybody learns a little bit better and they don't really waste their time and money and all the things. Many other things, you know, obviously, weight that we've been talking about the weight for many, many years. We're trying to put a program of, also on nutritionists. So many things that happens, you know, there's so many things that keep coming back, but the most important is safety. You know, we talk about safety all the time and try to minimize injuries. So,
yeah. And again, I've been part of that Jockeys Guild conference on many different occasions, and I can tell you the information that gets discussed in those panels and the meetings and from the different guests that appear is invaluable. And I just hope that the industry takes the topics that come out of that conference seriously and really addresses them. And I think there have been strides made over the past few years in terms of jockey safety. And I'm curious, are you happy with the way that the industry has responded to some of these things, Johnny?
Well, it's been very slow, obviously. It's been very, very slow. And you know, we constantly have doctors come into to the assembly and to remind us that, you know, how dangerous it is, and with the concussion protocols now and everything. But, you know, it's so slow, it's state by state. You know, we're making progress, but it's very, very slow. So we hope that this year coming up, we try to, you know, get this started from the ground and make it official that we're actually doing better with the concussion protocols and all that stuff. But it's slow. You know, I mean, we're making ground, but it's very, very slow.
Yeah, well, Johnny, you have a voice here. If there's anything that you need on behalf of the riders, you know that we're big supporters of the PDJF and the Jockeys Guild here on HRN. So whatever you need, we're here. And safe travels out to Las Vegas. We'll look forward to reading all the information that comes out of there. And congratulations again on number 6,000, man. Well done.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. John Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. How good is he?
Oh, the best.
Yeah, by far.
The very best.
By far. Simply spectacular. His preparation is second to none. And as you heard, 47 years old, still feeling good, still going strong. And hey, he'll just take it day by day, year by year, and we'll see how much longer this journey for John Velasquez has left in it. But yeah, one of the classiest guys that you'll find in the sport of thoroughbred racing today. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. Our brand new Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence is next. We'll talk to Darren Fox from Darley on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Breed for speed. Run Happy shattered the stakes record in the Grade 1 King's Bishop and conquered the Breeders' Cup Sprint in track record time. Dominant, powerful, and faster than the blink of an eye, this three-time Grade 1 winner raced medication-free and retired undefeated in sprint competition. Now an exciting young stallion, his first foals have arrived. Eclipse champion Run Happy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here's Street Fancy erupting along the inside, and Street Fancy comes to tackle, stays in Vegas. Street Fancy with a stellar rally, stays in Vegas. Street Fancy wins the Starlet.
With the Grade 1 Starlet Stakes and Los Alamitos Futurity scheduled to be run tonight at Los Al, we bring you that look back at Street Fancy's victory in the 2015 renewal of the Grade 1 Starlet. Street Fancy, a daughter of Darley Stallion Street Sense, as is last year's Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity winner, McKenzie. And Street Fancy is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby, is the sire of six Grade 1 winners on dirt in 5 years. Only Bernardini, Tappet, Curlin, and Malibu Moon can top that number. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
HRRN is live online. Our official home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. Log on and listen to all of our broadcasts streaming live. Or check out the archives of our daily shows and listen anytime. Follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search iTunes for Horse Racing Radio Network and you'll find our latest podcasts. Racing's biggest events are on HRRN and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Animal Kingdom leads. Animal Kingdom three lengths in front of Red Cadeau. And Animal Kingdom wins the Dubai World Cup.
And they're coming down to the finish. And once again, with nonchalant brilliance, Bernardini has won.
Oh, my goodness. Look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely roughed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up in a final time of 1 minute 32.73 seconds.
And Street Fence has roared from 19th position to first in the Derby. Hartsfun ties the hole for second. And on front of back in Stenfield on any given Saturday. And here is Street Fence, a stretch running sensation.
Nyquist, an exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, a fun little montage there of the Darley Stallions when they were on the racetrack doing their thing, and they did it extremely well. And time now for your Stallion Spotlight segment. This will be a segment we'll bring your way every single Saturday morning through the middle of March to focus on a different farm and a different stallion roster. And today, it is the Darley Stallions, this segment presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. And Darren Fox is with us now. He is the sales manager here at Darley America. Darren, welcome, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good, good. How about that little trip down memory lane with the Darley Stallions?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, that was a nice little look back at some of the top performances. We hear about Animal Kingdom and, of course, Street Sense winning the Kentucky Derby and Frosted in that unbelievable Met Mile. You have to be so blessed to be able to go to work and be able to look at all these top horses each and every day. That's pretty cool.
You know, it's amazing. It sounds cliched, but it really never gets old, you know, to be able to walk up to the Stallion Barn on a daily basis and just feast your eyes on that quality of horse flesh. You know, they really are the stars, and, you know, we are still in awe of their performances on the track, and it's just a real honor to be able to look at them every day.
And they always look so good once they go to stud. They fill out, and they look like beasts. Medaglia d'Oro, you couldn't find a better-looking horse, could you?
there's no doubt. It's easy to see why he had eight yearlings bring $1 million plus this year. You know, it's very hard for Stallion to be a good sire on the track, but also get you that commercial sales physical, and he certainly hits the bullseye on both, and that's why he's standing for $200,000.
Yeah, and there's been so much longevity there when you talk about the success of Medaglia d'Oro. He is just ageless. What's the key to keeping a stallion at the top of these lists for so long, Darren?
It's a lot of factors. Obviously, you know, the number one reason is, you know, the stallion needs to be delivering on the racetrack to ensure that he is attracting, you know, a high quality of mare that ensures future success for years to come. And he's certainly been helping us out immensely on that, you know, front. You know, in terms of Medaglia d'Oro, I know my title is sales manager, but it's really directing traffic on a horse like Medaglia d'Oro. It's obviously trying to allocate seasons, but, you know, he's certainly doing all the heavy lifting for us, and we're just along for the ride, you know.
Yeah, he's been simply spectacular, and again, he's done it for a very, very long time. And, you know, another stallion out there, we heard of the clip of him winning the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I believe Tom Durkin said routinely brilliant, maybe. Was the word maybe it wasn't even that race, but he's described Bernardini as being routinely brilliant on an occasion or two. That was a horse that was so good on the racetrack and has really had a ton of success at stud too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he kind of hit the ground running, you know, retiring for $100,000 in his first year at stud. Obviously, he sired 14 grade one winners to date and had 14 sons at stud. So, and where he's really coming into his own also is as a broodmare sire. He's the broodmare sire of 23 black type winners to date, which is huge for a stallion who's only 15 years. So he's really poised to make his influence on the breed through sons and also through his daughters. But, you know, he's just such an impeccable physical that when people come and look at him, it's just hard not to be wowed by him. And, you know, the neat thing about Bernardini is, you know, his dam, Cara Raffaella, was a really, really sharp two-year-old. She won the Alcibiades, which was a grade two at the time, then obviously won the grade one Starlet at two and ran second in the grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. So a lot of speed and precocity through the dam, Because when you think of Bernardini and AP Indy, typically you would think of, you know, middle distance, two turns, you know, trio races, which, of course, Bernardini was in spades. But fast forward, and he's obviously sired five grade one winning two-year-olds, and he Stormcat is the only stallion in history to have sired more $500,000 two-year-olds in the sales ring. So I think we can attribute a lot of that to the speed and precocity of his dam, Cara Raffaella. So he really, you know, is such a well-rounded horse that can get you a good two-year-old, get you a two-year-old sales horse, yet they progress and train on and do what they do at three. So he really is a well-rounded stallion in that regard.
And his foals seem to have that same spark that he has. There's something about him. When you see him, he has this just this special spark, and the babies all seem to have that too. I mean, it's the way they look at you, or I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe you could define it better than me.
You know, definitely he is a horse, and I give a shout out to Michael Banhan, our director of farm operations here, but he said he was that horse in the barn that was never on the vet list, never turned a hair wrong. You know, he never, you know, set a foot wrong throughout his early years. He was just one of those straightforward, intelligent, you know, really good horses. And every time we bring him out to do a show, he stands in our center show ring and just assumes this statue-like pose and gets this distant look in his eye, and he'll hold it for minutes on end, and he just oozes class and gives you shivers to be in his presence, because he has so much intelligence, such an aura, and it really is his world, and we're stepping into it. So, you know, the good horses, I think, give you that feel and still do to this day.
Visiting with Darren Fox from Darley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your Stallion Spotlight segment, focusing on the Darley Stallions this morning. You can't talk about that Stallion roster, Darren, without talking about the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby, and I'm talking about Street Sense. Boy, has he been good.
You know, Street Sense really is such an important horse for us, because talking about his sire, Street Cry, he put our Stallion, you know, he put our Stallion barn on the map. He was, you know, Street Cry retired at a fee of 30,000, rose to 150, has gone on to do what he's gone to do. But Street Cry certainly put us on the map, and he's a horse who's very near and dear to our hearts. So to have his best son in Street Sense, and Street Boss also for that matter, you know, it's very important, you know, for the farm's history. So to have a horse like Street Sense, who won the Juvenile by 10 and then was the only horse to do the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Kentucky Derby double, you know, add in, you know, the Travers like he did. You know, he's such a special racehorse. He's such a physical specimen. You know, it's interesting, in his career path, he spent a year in Japan. And his current three-year-olds, of which McKinsey is a member of, are his first crop back post that hiatus in Japan. So, you know, he really has come roaring back into the spotlight. And, you know, he's currently a booked full stallion at $50,000 here with us on the roster. So that tells you his pecking order, you know, on the farm and in the broader market.
We spent a lot of time with trainer Doug O'Neill and with Nyquist when he was going through his run to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and then through the Triple Crown Trail. And, of course, another horse that won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby. He stands at Darley for $40,000. Tell us about Nyquist.
You know, Nyquist is such an unbelievable talent. You know, when you think about what he did, like to break your maiden going five furlongs in early June as a two-year-old and to progress, you know, he went through, won the grade two Best Pal, then won the grade one Del Mar Futurity, wheeled back 19 days later, won the grade one Front Runner, and then finished up winning the grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I believe he was drawn 13 and 14, raced wide around two bends, you know, to win super impressively at Keeneland that day and be, you know, be crowned champion two-year-old. Now, just to reference that body of work, to win three grade ones as a two-year-old while staying undefeated was last achieved 40 years ago by Honest Pleasure. So he is the most accomplished two-year-old in 40 years, which again is an incredible milestone. Then you fast forward to his three-year-old year, he wins the grade two San Vicente, then obviously ships to Florida to win the Florida Derby, and then of course ships back to Churchill to do what he did in the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, to break your maiden going five furlongs as a two-year-old in early June, yet to continue to progress and develop and stay ahead of the class to win the Kentucky Derby at three, just earmarks what a special horse he was. Now, he also ranks as only the eighth unbeaten winner of the Kentucky Derby, and he also ranks as the first champion two-year-old to win the Derby while staying undefeated since Seattle Slough. So, like I said, that body of work through the Kentucky Derby sets some unbelievable milestones. you know, he's got the physical and the temperament to go with it, and he's, you know, a hugely popular stallion for us. And, you know, to be as good as he was by Uncle Mo, you know, that really just, you know, just highlights how popular a stallion he is for us.
Yeah, he was an amazing horse, and that juvenile that he won at Keeneland was just a sensational race. As you mentioned, so wide and just really toe-roped that field. I mean, it was as impressive as a race you could ever expect from a two-year-old.
You know, he was such a, to me, he showed so much intelligence in his races. Like, he really would keep something up his sleeve when a horse came to him. He just, like, he never overused himself. He just had such a great temperament, such a great demeanor, and just raced so intelligently. And, you know, when the horse came to him, he sure had more up his sleeve. So he was just such a joy to watch, and we're just thrilled to have him here on the roster.
Let's talk about some of the younger stallions standing at Darley here in Lexington, and I'm talking about Alpha and Frosted. And we heard that call in the open of Frosted winning the Met Mile by about 1,000 lengths, just dominated the field that day, ran away from the field. Tell us about those two horses.
So to start with Frosted, you know, he's obviously, he stands for 50,000 on roster. He is, you know, the highest rated runner in the U.S. by Tappet. He's his leading money earner. Obviously, he won the Wood Memorial. He won the Whitney. But like you said, his breakout performance was certainly in the Met Mile. You know, he finished that in 1:32.3. It is the fastest time in the history of the stallion making Met Miles. That is a rare achievement. You know, his 14.5 length winning margin is that biggest winning margin in the history of the race. And, you know, just to say, he got a 1:23 buyer, which is the highest buyer at a distance of a mile since those figures were instated. And he also, that 1:23 was the highest buyer at any distance for the previous 9 years. So it just shows you what a crazy performance that was. I believe on the thoroughgraphs he got a -8.5, which is the highest number recorded on that on that speed figure system. So, you know, incredible race record, incredible physical. He just is one of those horses that you just stare at. He rolled off the van after Breeders' Cup, and he was showing up some of our stallions that had been at stud 2 and 3 years. He just had that much physical and carried that much body. So he definitely rolled off the van show ready. Which is, you know, not always the case with a young horse out of training, but he certainly was. And he's just been, you know, he's just bred the best book of mares of any freshman in his first and second year at stud. So, you know, he really had a great setup. His weanings averaged 181 thousand this November. I think his colts sold up to 310,000. So he's just a horse who, no matter how you assess a stallion prospect, he gets top marks in every category. You know, he's out of a Deputy Minister broodmare. His first two dams are Grade 2 winners. He's got two proven stallions in the female family. You know, he's really got it all. So couldn't be more excited about Frosted.
Yeah, and wow, you really know the stats on every horse. I can see why Darley's got you, because you are as sharp as they come. I mean, that's unbelievable, that series of stats you just listed off for that horse. If people don't want to breed to him now, they're never going to want to breed to anything.
Well, look, it's one of those things, you know, a horse like Frosted is a once-in-a-decade horse for any operation, especially, you know, for an operation like ours. So, it, you know, it's hard not to be totally enamored with him at every step of the way. So it's easy to, you know, to be up when you're horses like him. I'll certainly admit that.
Darren, we have about 1 minute left to touch on Alpha.
Sure.
I know we're not going to get to all the stallions, but let's touch on Alpha for just a minute.
Yeah, obviously he's a stallion that stands at Sequel New York with us, obviously with Becky Thomas. You know, we're very excited to be part of the Lucrative New York program. You know, by Bernardini, you know, second in the Champagne at 2, obviously won the Travers at 3 and won the Woodward at 4. So he's a 2-time Grade 1 winner, obviously a Grade 1 horse at 2, 3 and 4. You know, incredible, tough, durable, talented racehorse. He's sired 3 winners to date. Obviously out of an Ajinsky mare from a real deep female family. So, you know, very excited about Alpha, and, you know, they certainly sure look like they can run.
Yeah, and of course you've got Animal Kingdom, you've got Astern, you have Hard Spun, Midshipman, and Street Boss. Didn't get a chance to talk about them, but all the information is on the Darley website. We'll tell people to head over to DarleyAmerica.com, and they can learn about the stallions here and the stallions standing in other parts of the world as well. Darren, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for being part of this first segment, the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence. And very happy holidays, my friend.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a pleasure.
All right. Darren Fox, sales manager at Darley America. Yeah, the Stallion roster, just unbelievably good. And again, DarleyAmerica.com is where you can go to learn more. We're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Tappert has taken the lead. Tappert and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappert, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappert set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Tappert ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. Tappert, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grains.
Yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. A precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
For Rajiv Baraj, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hymnbook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war. Will take charge of final man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Borton Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut, before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and getting ready to wrap up a very busy morning. Several guests joined us, including Mike Connolly, the co-owner of Madison County Thoroughbreds. He was our first guest right around 8:15, and he got a chance to tell you all about that Iowa Thoroughbred auction. Don't forget, you can visit iowathoroughbred.com. The auction begins tonight, runs through December 17th, and benefits that program, which is really making tremendous strides. Again, iowathoroughbred.com is where you can learn more about that stallion auction. Frankie Pennington was with us in the first half of the show, looking back on his Grade 2 Remsen win with Maximus Mischief. Mike D'Anzaris from Embrace the Race, John Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, he was with us a short time ago. And then you just heard Darren Fox with our Stallion Spotlight segment, Darren from Darley, focusing on the Darley Stallions. Johnny V, I want to come back to him for just a second here, JT, because we had to get right to the break after he joined us, but what makes him so good is not just his experience, but that work ethic that he has. And you mentioned to him, and I think you're 100% right, he makes less mistakes than any rider that's out there right now. And you heard him put an emphasis on that. That's something that he works very hard on. He's out there working horses in the morning, 47 years old, Hall of Famer, winner of 6,000 races. You'll find him on the backside every single morning working horses.
Yeah, he has the work ethic. the riders from Puerto Rico that admire him. For instance, the Ortiz brothers, they're out there every morning too. I mean, that's how those guys are raised, and that's what they do. And you know, he's the very best. I think he is the best rider riding today.
And credit Angel Cordero Jr., the fellow Hall of Famer who took Johnny under his wing when he came to the United States and really became like a father figure to Johnny. And he taught him the right way to handle himself both on and off the track. He learned very well.
Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to ask Johnny, what did Angel consider himself one of the better riders or one of the maybe not so better riders?
That could go either way sometimes, right?
Sometimes with Angel, you never know.
He was a very aggressive rider. Yeah, we know that. Well, again, our thanks to all of our special guests for being with us here this morning. Our thanks to all of our listeners. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, head over to horseracingradio.net and you can check out the podcast. Listen at your leisure. After much therapy, I can actually say I'm very angry with my Pittsburgh Steelers, but what the heck? Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.